Welcome to the weekly podcast from Ashford Baptist, an active evangelical community church of all ages and many nationalities based in the centre of Ashford, Kent in the UK. We hope you enjoy the message.
The reading is in two parts this morning, five verses from Genesis chapter 12. And then carrying on in chapter 22. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. And chapter 22 of Genesis. Again, beginning at verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. The word of the Lord.
I'm going to welcome Dave again to come to bless us with the word. Dave, is it okay if we pray with you before? Do you know, no one's ever said no to me before on that, so let's pray for you. Heavenly Father, I want to lift Dave up for you now. Would you inspire him and give him your words to speak to us this morning? I pray also that you would give us open and obedient hearts to listen to your voice and to be challenged, encouraged, and emboldened by you speaking to us this morning through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Good morning. It's good to be with you and to share in God's word and communion with you this morning. So always good to come. I was on holiday last week and only arrived back at about 1:30 on Friday morning. So I was preparing for today a couple of weeks ago. And when I discovered that your theme for this year is faith, I believe, my mind went to, and this is a confession, this is a sermon that has been preached before. My mind went to Abraham, the father of faith, and hopefully it's a word that stands the test of time, so to speak. And it begins with a true story, or a story which is at least based on an actual event that took place. I'm not quite sure of all of the details and the provenance of all of the detail, and it may be something that you've heard before, but it took place in 1859 when Charles Blondin walked a tightrope suspended across Niagara Falls. Have you heard the story before? Some of you, I think, will have done. And one day, he was a bit of a celebrity, and great crowds of people came to watch him push a bag of cement in a wheelbarrow across the Niagara Falls, 50 metres above raging waters. If he was to fall, it would have been certain death. And when he reached the other side, there was a great cheer and applause, and resounding applause went up for his incredible feat. And then Blondin looked to the crowd and he said, do you believe that I can do anything on a tightrope? Yes, they all shouted with their fists raised and their hands waving. Yes, we believe that you can do anything on a tightrope. And he then waited for the crowd to still. And he said, then who will sit in this barrow for me as I walk back to the other side? And surprise, surprise, the crowd fell deathly silent. No one was prepared to volunteer. And then apparently, at last, a man came forward and placed his trust in Blondin's balance. And together, they crossed the falls. Out of the very many people who claimed to believe that this man could do anything on a tightrope, only one person had the courage of that conviction to actually put that faith, that belief, into action. Many sang the songs of faith, as we have sung this morning, but just one man came forward to live the life of faith in a wheelbarrow. The story of Abraham is the story of a life of faith. The writer of the book of Hebrews describes faith as being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. And Abraham was a man who had faith by the barrow load. So what lessons can we learn about faith from the example of Abraham? Firstly, faith is going where the Lord leads, even though you don't know where. Genesis 12, verse 1, the Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you." When God first called Abraham, he didn't tell him the detail of where he was going. He didn't give him a destination to log into Google Maps. He didn't have a sat nav. He was told to go on a journey and I'll show you where you're going as you move. Hebrews 11 and verse 8 adds a commentary to this verse. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Faith is going where the Lord leads, even though you don't know where. And of course, we don't know the precise details of how God originally spoke to Abraham. We don't know precisely how it was that he received this instruction to pack up his house, his home, his belongings, and embark on this incredible journey of faith. Scripture doesn't give us any indication of quite how it was that Abraham heard or sensed that call. My guess is that it probably wasn't crystal clear. My guess is that it probably wasn't written in the sky or the stars. My guess is that probably Abraham had a thought that just nagged in his mind, or an impression that was somehow cast upon his spirit, or a desire welling up from somewhere deep within the core of his being. My guess is that it was some kind of holy hunch, confirmed by others, but by no means certain, maybe. That's what makes this faith safari so compelling, so outstanding, because it's very rare, in my experience at least, that God speaks to us in absolute terms. That God speaks to us in crystal clear, cast iron ways. He doesn't often make known the details of his will for our lives completely clear at the outset, because we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. We don't peddle absolute certainty. We proceed step by step by faith. And it was by faith that Abraham embarked on this journey. Where was he going? He wasn't that sure. He didn't really know. Faith is going where the Lord leads, even though you don't know where. Perhaps we can imagine the conversation. Abraham, where are you going? What are you doing? Asks his neighbor. I'm packing, says Abraham. Packing? That's right, we're moving, says Abraham. Why? Why on earth would you want to move from Ur? Oh, I sense that God is telling me to do that. God, eh? Says his neighbor with a grin. You've been talking with him again, have you? That's right. He told me I should go. Well, where are you going? I don't know. He didn't tell me that part. He hasn't gone into the detail. Now, Abraham, his friend says kindly, you're moving away because God told you, but you don't know where you're going. That's about right, says Abraham. Well, that's pretty much all I can say, said his neighbor. And you know, Abraham, we've known each other a long time, and some of us have been just a little bit concerned about you of late. You've been acting strange. Do you need to see a doctor? And so it goes. When we set out on a faith journey with God, we probably won't know our destination at the start. And the world may think we're mad. But as the Bible says, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. So a little bit of personal reflection and testimony. It's nearly 40 years since I responded to an altar call at a baptismal service at New Life Church in Woking and gave my life to follow Jesus and immediately sensed that God was saying, I want you to tell other people like you who've never heard this gospel story before. That's what I want you to do with my life. I sensed that immediately at the point at which I came to faith and began to set out on a faith adventure that took me from Woking to Spurgeon's College in London, and then to Medway, to Walderslade Baptist Church, and then down to Canterbury, to the Baptist Church there. And when we set out, my wife and I, we didn't know where we were going. We didn't know where it would lead. I'm just this lad from Woking who has never prayed as much as he should, who's certainly not as good as he should be, and who doesn't know his Bible as well as many people in this congregation, I imagine. But for some reason, God chose me. And now I stand before you as a person who's preached 1,000 sermons in all kinds of incredible places around the world that I never imagined going to, from Poland to Brazil to many nations across Africa. My sermons, my words have been translated into more languages than I can remember. How on earth did that happen? It happened because faith is going where the Lord leads, even though you don't know where. And I imagine that in each and every one of us here this morning, there is something you would do for God. There is something that God has placed within you, within your mind, within your heart, within your spirit, within your being, within your circle of acquaintance. There is something, perhaps there is somewhere that you would do for God because he's asked you and you sense him calling, but you don't quite know the detail. Of course you don't. At the beginning, but faith is stepping out on that journey, understanding this is an adventure in faith, which is going where the Lord leads, even though you don't know where. God has chosen you for service. Today, he bids you follow. And secondly, faith is believing what the Lord has said, even though it seems impossible. Faith is believing what the Lord has said, even though what he has said is impossible. Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3, God said to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And then several times over the following dozen years or so, God repeated that promise. Genesis 15, verse 4, a son from your own body will be your heir. Genesis 18 and verse 10, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And so she did. His name was Isaac, and from Isaac came Jacob, and from Jacob came Joseph and his brothers, the 12 tribes of Israel. And just as God had said to Abraham in Genesis 15 and verse 5, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them, so great shall your offspring be. Now this promise is pretty remarkable in and of itself, but it's even more remarkable when you realize it was spoken to a man in his mid-70s, who was married to a woman who all her life had been barren, unable to conceive. But Abraham believed God for something that was apparently impossible. And even in these days of remarkable science and clinical interventions, it seems to me there aren't that many octogenarians becoming parents for the first time. Faith is believing what the Lord has said, even though it seems impossible. Hebrews 11, verses 11 and 12 say, "By faith Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore." It is incredible what God can do with impossible, is it not? Many, many years ago, I had the privilege of serving a Baptist church in County Cork in the Republic of Ireland. It was during two vacations when I was studying at theological college. And during that experience, I spent some time working with a man called Walter Burrell, Wally Burrell. And he was a missioner with the Siemens Christian Mission in the docks in County Cork in Ireland. And over the years, his ministry had taken him on board ships and he'd ministered to sailors and seamen from all across the world. And also working there in the docks, he also had come to know and provide care and speak truth into the lives of some of the prostitutes and others who worked the ships at night. And one of these women that he'd got to know quite well, sadly, drowned herself in the docks. And she left a young son, and that boy was called Don. And he was brought up by his grandmother, and Wally kept in touch with the boy and kept in touch with the grandmother as the boy grew and saw him through the troubles that he went through at school, through the scrapes that he went through with the law, through all sorts of ups and downs in that man's quite troubled early life. And about 30 years ago, I guess it was now, I was speaking at a youth camp in County Cork. And at the end of the talk, I made an appeal, and only one person responded for salvation that day. And that was a young man named Don. He made a commitment to Jesus Christ, and I later learnt the story about him. And I reflected afterwards that it probably wasn't anything to do with anything that I had actually said on that evening. But it was because a man called Walter Burrell had shown concern for that boy all his life. Because Wally considered him faithful who had made a promise. Wally believed what the Lord had said, that salvation is for all and even for a troubled young man like Don, even though it seemed impossible. And it did seem impossible that the orphan son of a suicide prostitute should find new life in Jesus Christ. But he did. Don is a descendant of Abraham. I'd love to tell you that I know the end of that story and where Don is now. I don't. But I believe that he is a descendant of Abraham because Wally considered him faithful who had made the promise. Romans 14, verse 6 describes Abraham as the father of us all because he was the first man of faith. And God promised him descendants that would outnumber the stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the seashore. And as people of faith ourselves, we too are descendants of Abraham. We are the impossible children of promise. And we are invited to believe God for the impossible, for the salvation of our family and our friends, perhaps, for the conversion of our colleagues and revival in our communities. No work too hard for him. In faith, receive from him. Faith is believing what the Lord has said, even though it seems impossible from our perspective. And then finally, faith is doing what the Lord commands, even though it might cost everything. Faith is doing what the Lord commands, even though it might cost everything. This is where it gets really serious. because Genesis 22 tells that remarkable story of Abraham's incredible obedience to God when he was commanded to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. This is one of the most remarkable displays of faith in the whole of Scripture. Abraham was prepared to offer his son, his only son, the son whom he loved and cherished, the son of promise. Abraham was prepared to offer him as a sacrifice because it was what God commanded. Now, many of us here will be parents, aunts or uncles. We have relationships with children and we love those children and we delight in them, I'm sure. I have two sons and a daughter. I now have grandchildren and I cannot conceive offering any single one of them on the altar of my commitment. I can't. We can't, can we? And of course, we read this story, we hear this story through the filter of 20 centuries. And so we know that God is not into child sacrifice. He won't be asking us to slaughter our progeny. But I do think that at times we glibly underestimate just what the Lord may require of us. Perhaps sometimes we consider it an imposition or an inconvenience that God should require almost anything at all. In the second century, a wealthy businessman went to see Tertullian, one of the church fathers. And this businessman was compromised because he had been converted and contracted to supply materials for a pagan temple. And when he concluded telling this story to Tertullian, he said, what can I do? I must live. To which Tertullian replied, must you? Doing as the Lord commands could cost you your livelihood. It could even cost you your life. Polycarp was the bishop of Smyrna and an early Christian martyr. And he was put on trial for his faith in Christ. But because he was an old man, despite having been found guilty, the judge who presided in the court said to him, I will give you the opportunity to have your life spared. All you need to do is to denounce your faith in Jesus. To which Polycarp said, 85 years I have served him, and he has done me no wrong. How then can I deny my God who saved me? And he was taken out to the coals and burned alive for his faith in Jesus Christ. Martyrdom is not a thing of the past either. Nothing could be further than the truth. It's calculated that more people died for their belief in Jesus Christ during the last century than in all of the previous centuries combined across the world. So yes, church can be a cozy lifestyle choice for many of us here. But for our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world, it's a daily tightrope walk with life and death on the line. So this is what we learn from Abraham, the father of us all. Abraham, the first man of faith. Faith is going where the Lord leads, even though you don't know where today. Where does he call you to follow and step out in faith and adventure with him? Faith is believing what the Lord has said, even though it seems impossible. Do not stop praying for that which seems impossible to you, because nothing is impossible with God. And faith is doing what the Lord commands, even though it might cost everything. Let's pause and let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for the example of Abraham. Lord, we thank you for the faith that he was prepared to exercise. And Lord, when we really begin to think about the events that we've spoken of this morning, we might think he was having some kind of episode. Well, he was, but that was an episode with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at work in his life. Lord, we thank you that he set out on that journey with you, even though he didn't know where he was going to begin with. Lord, we thank you that he believed the things that you promised, even though they were, from a human perspective, biologically impossible. But we are part of his progeny of faith. Lord, we thank you that he was prepared to do what you commanded, even though it might cost everything, the dearest thing in his life. Help us not to consider it an imposition when we're asked to inconvenience ourselves for you, however that may present itself. So, Lord, we pray that you would establish a deeper faith, a clearer belief, and a willing heart to offer ourselves wholly and completely and intentionally for your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this. To make sure you hear more messages like these, please subscribe so you don't miss out. To find out more about Ashford Baptist, visit our website, ashfordbaptist.org.uk, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Ashford Baptist.